If you got your Bible and you're proud to have God's Word in your lap, say amen.
Amen.
Turn it to Exodus chapter number 17. I'm sorry y'all are getting a double dose of Exodus today. But this is what I'm going through in my personal study. And if I could preach for about 15 hours. But Brother Mike, they'd get mad at me. And then Jake wouldn't let me preach no more. So we're going to be quick tonight because I want to stay on everybody's good side. But I really do love Exodus. And as we preached on Sunday, I just relate to Exodus. I just relate to these people. I see myself. If you'll take yourself and take out where it says Israel and just put your name, you fit perfectly. I promise. We all do.
Amen.
Because like I said Sunday, we're all dumb and arrogant and stubborn. And if you're offended, good. Amen. Because that's what we are. Amen. And so, as I said Sunday, I won't spend too much time recapping and going back over background, but the children of Israel, they have made it through the Red Sea. They have sang on the shore of the Red Sea. They have been to Marah. They've been to Elam, as we talked about on Sunday, but you can't stay in Elam. You got to leave Elam. And they went down. Does anybody remember where they went from there? Well, I'm glad I made an impression on Sunday. Amen. They went down from Elam into the wilderness of Sin. Amen. And they go into the wilderness of Sin. And we didn't talk about this Sunday, but one of the most beautiful stories is how Jesus fed the children of Israel, or God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sin. He fed them by, have y'all ever heard of this word, manna? I believe it was Krispy Kreme donuts. Amen. Manna and quail. And God took care of them. And one thing I always like to point out is God made the manna to fall from the sky, but He required that the Israelites leave their tent and go get the manna. And what that means to us is God will do things in your life, but He still requires some action from you as well. Amen. He will give you opportunity to succeed. He will pour out blessings in your life, but He also expects you to put in some work as well. Amen. And so they had to go and gather the manna. And so they are gathering manna and they're in the wilderness of Sin. And then we get to chapter number 17. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink." And I tell you what, the Israelites are just having a hard time, ain't they?
Amen.
Now, they did get out of Egypt, but ever since then, it's been one thing after another, right? First of all, the water's bitter. Then they find Elam, and they have to leave it. And they have to go to the wilderness of Sin. Well, they get to the wilderness of Sin, and there's no food there. Well, God provided, and He sent manna. Well, then they come out of the wilderness of Sin, and guess what? There's no water. There's no water. And there's only so long you can go without water. Can I get an amen? And so they're having a hard time, but obviously God has His hand on Israel and God is providing for Israel. And so Moses goes to the Lord, and I want to point something out about Moses as well. If you'll look at Moses' life, he did a lot of things wrong. He did a lot of things well. One thing I think that he did extremely well is every single time he got in trouble, the very first thing he did was take it to the Lord. You can look through Moses' life when they got to the Red Sea and the children of Israel came to him and said, "Did you bring us out here to kill us in the wilderness?" He said, "Hold on a minute."
Amen.
And he went into his prayer closet, right? Then they get to Marah and they said, "Oh, this water's bitter. Did you bring us out here just to die in the wilderness?" He said, "Hold on a minute. I got to go to my prayer closet." All right? Everybody with me? Wilderness of Sin, ain't no food. "Did you just bring us out here, Moses, to kill us? Is that what you're doing?" Moses, if I was Moses... I'm glad I'm not, but y'all can fill in the blank. Y'all know what I would have told them people, amen? All right, I think there's a song about it, but I ain't even going to quote it, amen? He said, "Hold on a minute, I need to go to my prayer closet." And he went straight to the Lord, obviously right here in chapter number 17. "We got no water." And you ain't going to believe what they said. "Did you just bring us out here to kill us in the wilderness?" Moses said, "Hold on a minute." Verse number 4, "Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with these people?'" I would have prayed the same prayer, right? Lord, what am I supposed to do with these people? They fixing to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock. There shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So God tells Moses, he says, hey, grab that rod that I gave you, and I'm going to go over here on this rock, and I want you to hit the rock. All right? Now, something really cool. And by the way, I ain't even got to my message yet. I'm just sharing this because it's cool. Amen. God's been giving me this stuff in my studies, and I'm just loving it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 4, and the Bible says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Listen to this phrase. This is in 1 Corinthians. And the rock was Christ. And the rock was Christ. And so what it's telling us right here is Moses smote Christ. All the way back in Exodus, we have a beautiful picture of the cross. Amen. How Moses smote the rock, and out of the rock came water. Amen. I'm glad of what came out of Jesus on Calvary. Amen. The blood. Amen. And something else I thought was cool. Moses hit him with his rod. His rod represented the law. Jesus died because of the law. Somebody say amen. That's good stuff. Amen. And so God miraculously provides for the children of Israel once again. And we all know Moses hits the rock, and what comes out of it? Water comes out of it. And the Bible says, and he called the name of the place, y'all bear with me, Massa and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, listen to what they said, is the Lord among us or not? Now, I'm from South Georgia, but I'd just really like to go slap these people right upside the head. Amen. Amen. What do you mean, is he among you or not? Did you not just cross over the Red Sea on dry ground? Did he not just turn the bitter water sweet? Did he not just rain down manna, Krispy Kremes from heaven? I mean, are y'all people crazy? Have you lost your mind? How can you even ask that kind of question? And you know what? The Lord took offense to it as well. Three times in the book of Deuteronomy, he reminded Israel of this very verse. He said, I remember, what's the name of this place? Massa. I remember Massa, where you asked, was I even for you? This hurt the Lord's feelings, if you will. He held on to it. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And so God is not happy. And I want you to look. When the children of Israel doubted the Lord in verse number 7, look what happened in verse number 8. Then came, have y'all ever heard of this person? Amalek. And fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, Amalek is the grandson. Does anybody know? Any scholars? He is the grandson of Esau. And we know Esau is the brother of Jacob, the forefather of who? Israel. Are y'all with me? And so Esau is still, to this day in Exodus, fighting. Not personally, but his bloodline is still fighting the children of Israel. Are y'all with me? And so Amalek, we know the story of the Amalekites. Anybody know the story of Amalekites? Anybody know anywhere else they were in the Bible? How about 1 Samuel chapter number 15? Somebody had a problem killing him, didn't he? His name was Saul. God said, utterly destroy him, and he saved the spoils. And because of that, God took his hand off of Saul. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to lay the groundwork of this. The Amalekites continually fought against Israel. The Bible says in verse number 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, this is the first time Joshua is talked about in our Bible, one of the greatest characters of our Bible, amen, a beautiful Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. And I just want to stop right here, and I know I'm getting bogged down, but I can't help it. Amen. Moses didn't say, let's give Joshua a hand clap because he's doing a great job. Okay? We know the whole story, and we know Joshua becomes this great leader, and everybody should give him a high five when we get to heaven because he was great. But in his early days, Moses said, hey, go get us a team of men and go fight. And Joshua didn't ask questions. He didn't say, that's beneath me. He didn't say, man, don't you know how dangerous that is? Don't you know how great of a leader I'm going to be? Are you sure you want to send me down there? He just said, yes, sir. He just said, yes, sir. And you'll never be over what God wants you to be over until you get under who God wants you to get under. Amen. Moses was willing to submit himself and obey the man of God in his life. Just going to drop that little bomb on you tonight. Amen. He says, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now put yourself in Joshua's shoes. The Amalekites, and by the way, the Amalekites were dirty. They didn't fight fair. I want to say this, the devil don't fight fair either. Amen. The Bible even talks about, I don't remember if I wrote it down or not. In Deuteronomy chapter number 25, the Lord talks about the Amalekites, and he talks about how dirty they fought because they came at the Israelites from behind. And they attacked their children and their women and stole all of the baggage and all of the spoils from behind, because all of the weaker, the elderly, the children and the women would be in the back. They attacked the Israelites from the back. Are y'all with me? Say amen. And God remembered that as well, and he put it in Deuteronomy, and he said, hey, that ain't right. That's why I'm cursing these people. That's why until for generations to come, he said, I will fight the Amalekites. And so I want us to put ourselves in Joshua's shoes. They start fighting, and Moses, well, let me just put it like this. Me and Brother Jeremy, we go out to the restaurant to eat, all right? And everybody starts fighting. And this dude over here, he pulls out a gun. And this guy over here, he bringing out, what are the metal knuckles called? Brass knuckles. And he's starting, and all of a sudden it's a brawl. And I look at Brother Jeremy and I say, Brother Jeremy, you go over there and fight. And I'm going to go out to the car and pray for you. What do you think Brother Jeremy would have said? Do you think he would have had his Baptist language? He might have used some choice words, right? Our friendship might have been on the rocks. This is literally what Moses said to Joshua. He looked down in the valley, and the Amalekites are going crazy, and he says, Joshua, I want you to go down there and get you some men. Y'all go fight, and I'm going to go up here and pray. If I was Joshua, I'd have prayed for him. Amen. And he says, go out there and get you some men and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. I'm going to read that again. But Moses' hands were heavy. Amen. Anybody ever had your hands get heavy on you? As I was reading this past week, this verse just jumped off the page and hit me. As I thought about our church, I thought about people throughout this church, and I'm not going to name any names, but I thought about people throughout our church that used to come in on Sundays and Wednesday nights like this. And recently I've seen them with their hands heavy. They're here, but they ain't really here. Are y'all with me? Has anybody ever been there besides me? Sometimes you come to church and it's easy to raise your hands for victory. And sometimes you come to church because you have to, and you're dragging your hands all the way in because they're heavy. Listen, I know the day in which we live. I know, I face the world just like you do every single week. I know how easy it is for them hands start to feel like dumbbells. And it's all you can do come Wednesday to hold them hands up. Are y'all with me? Say amen. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to walk in and see people that I love that are struggling just to get their hands up a little bit on a Wednesday night. I come to encourage you tonight, church. I come to encourage you tonight. I want to give you four ways every one of us can get our hands up. I want to give you four ways how every single one of us in here tonight can leave with our hands held high for the cause of Christ. Amen. Number one, if we're going to walk out of here with our hands held high, which they should be, amen, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Amen. There ain't no sense in us moping around. We ought to have our hands raised. Amen. Number one, we must be sure of our foundation. We must be sure of our foundation. Look in verse number 12. The Bible says, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. In other words, they put Moses on the rock. Are you seeing the picture here tonight? For us to be able to raise our hands in victory, for us to be able to raise our hands for the victory, for us to be encouraged tonight, number one, we've got to make sure that we are situated firmly on the correct foundation. Amen. And that foundation is not a good job. That foundation, don't let me hurt your feelings, that foundation is not a good church. That foundation, the only foundation that we can stand on tonight is Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse number 18 says, for through him we both have access. I'm thankful for access. Amen. By one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Somebody say amen. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Listen to this. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm thankful he's my chief cornerstone. Amen. If you don't know what a cornerstone is, it is the thing that holds it all together. It's the stone, the main stone that holds the whole foundation together. And I'm thankful that I'm standing tonight not on my own power, not on my own foundation, not on my daddy's foundation, not on this church's foundation, but on Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I heard somebody say, and I love this quote, and I wrote it down in my Bible, but if Jesus is the cornerstone, if Jesus is the foundation, then I want to be in the basement. Everybody wants to go up. Everybody wants the lights, Brother Johnny. Everybody, if you ask them, what do you want out of life? I want to be successful. You know what they're saying? I want to go higher. But where's Jesus? He's the foundation. Everybody wants to go up when all of us should be wanting to go down. Are y'all with me? Say amen. That's good. I don't care if y'all like it or not. I like it. If Christ is the cornerstone, we need to get to the basement. Let me ask you this question. What are you building your life on? What are you building your marriage on? 12-step program? A book? The only foundation that we can stand on is Jesus Christ.
That's right. Come on.
Think about it, church. How many of y'all know that kid, the kid's song? Y'all help me. The wise man, help me. Help me, Miss Melissa. I know you know it. What's the other guy? He built it on the sand. The wise man built on the rock. And South Georgia redneck dummy named Dalton Harrington sometime built it on the sand. Which house stood? The one on the rock. It's hard to keep your hands up when your foundation ain't right. Are y'all with me? It's hard to keep your hands up. It's hard to stay balanced when your foundation is insecure. And the only foundation that will ever be secure in your life is Jesus Christ. He's the only unchangeable thing. I love my wife, but, well, I better stay off of this. Her personality, Brother Vic, it changes every minute, every other minute at least. No, I'm just kidding. The preacher at camp this past week, he said, every time I use my wife in an illustration, I got to buy her something. That's their rule. I'm scared my wife heard that, so I'm going to have to pay for something after this tonight. People change. Y'all with me? Jobs change. Relationships change. Y'all with me? Churches change. Everything in your life can and probably will change.
That's right.
We must make sure our foundation is secure. I remember when we were building our house, me and my wife were chomping at the bit. We could not wait to move in. I mean, we couldn't wait. We just wanted, I mean, I got pictures. It's just dirt. And I'd go by there once a week and just take a picture of the grass. Man, I'm just excited. Man, we're going to get to move in. And I remember they went out there and they put them boards up, them footer boards for the concrete. Man, I got so excited. I mean, I got 15 pictures of the footer boards on my phone. Man, I was excited, man. I just excited. We're building. Here we go. And man, they come out there and they put the dirt in there and they got it right. And man, it was about a week later and it still looked the same. And I called my builder. I said, man, what's going on, man? I thought we was going to have concrete. He's like, man, to be honest with you, your yard's a little low. And I told him to hold off on the concrete because I'm going to take some more dirt in there and we're going to build that foundation on up a little higher. And I said, man, well, hurry up. Get them down there. I'm ready to move in. Let's go. He said, man, we got to wait. He said, I'm sorry we got to wait. But he said, I promise you this. You would rather wait.
That's right. Come on.
And make sure that foundation's right.
That's right.
Because if that foundation is weak, then your house is weak. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
And I couldn't help when I was putting this message together to think about that. If your foundation is weak, you're weak.
That's right.
That's why it's so important to make sure that our foundation is only in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Are y'all with me? Say amen. What's your foundation tonight, church? What's your foundation? Number two, not only we have to make sure our foundation, we got to be sure of it. Number two, I just love this. Y'all just going to have to bear with me. Number two, we've got to surround yourself with people that will hold your hands up. You've got to surround yourself with people that will hold your hands up. Well, man, my Brother Dalton, pray for me because my hands are heavy this week. Brother Dalton, pray for me because I've had a rough week and I can just look at your face and I can already tell your hands about to fall off. You got to find some people in your life that'll hold your hands up. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Y'all might not like this, but the Lord preached to me right here. Amen. I'm going to give you five things right here. And the Lord just gave me this stuff. I just thought it was great. You got to surround yourself with people, number one, who are fighting the same battle that you're fighting. Moses, y'all excuse me. Moses is fighting the battle against the Amalekites, and he's fighting it with Joshua. But I want you to look right here in verse number 12. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Aaron got on one side, and he held up one arm, and Hur got on the other side and he held up the other arm. I was going to get somebody to help me act this out tonight, but I ain't going to worry about it for the sake of time. But I was going to get somebody to stand up. How many of y'all ever raised your hand and you was trying to raise your hand? You didn't even have nothing in your hands. But after a little while, them shoulders, them rotator cuffs, they start burning a little bit. Are y'all with me? And I was going to get somebody to come up here and hold their hands up. And all of us watch as they got fatigued and as they got tired, as their hands begin to get heavy. I was going to let us see all that. But can y'all picture that with me tonight? As somebody's hands are getting heavy, someone else comes up. And I want you to notice something. They come up and they lift up the hands of Moses. They were fighting the same battle that he was fighting. And so many people today, they're fighting spiritual warfare. They're fighting Satan tooth and nail. He's trying to destroy their family. He's trying to destroy everything in their life. And they want to run to somebody who's worldly. Amen. They want to run to somebody who's not even spiritual. That person ain't fighting the same battle you're fighting. They're not fighting the same spiritual warfare that you are fighting. We as the church, we as Christians, we can't run to the world to get the answer. We've got to run to people and the church, to people who are fighting the same battle that we are fighting. Can I get an amen? Aaron, her, they're fighting the same battle. Not only they got to be fighting the same battle. Number two, you have to find some people that you don't have to ask to help. They just jump in and grab an arm.
Amen.
You can read through her all you want, but you will never find where Moses said, "Hey, my right arm's getting a little tired, Hur. Get over here and hold it up for me." No, Aaron and Hur saw that there was a need and they jumped in for their friend. But for their church family member, amen. And I'm not just talking about Calvary Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church as a whole, amen. You do know there's people that are part of the church that ain't a part of Calvary Baptist Church, amen. And there's some people that you can place in your life. I got people who hold my arms up and they live in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Are y'all with me? What I'm trying to say is they ain't got to live next door to you to hold your hands up, church. But when somebody sees a need, when somebody looks at you and they can tell that something ain't right, they jump in and hold your hands up. That's the kind of people that it's going to take for us to get our hands up. I noticed they didn't have to ask for help. Number three, they don't get jealous that God is using you. It'd have been easy for Aaron and Hur to say, "Moses, you can't hold your hands up. You're tired. Get out of the way." And you know what would have happened? Israel would have fallen. Aaron and Hur did not get jealous or envious of Moses because God was using his life. They just jumped in and grabbed an arm. Is anybody hearing this?
Amen.
We got too many people who are competing.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Everybody wants to compete. Everybody wants to say, "I did this, I did that." Why don't we just jump in where we can? If somebody's arms get weak, just grab a hold of somebody's arm and lift it up. And it might not be you getting the spotlight or the glory, but praise the Lord, it ain't about you anyway.
That's right. Amen.
Just lift up somebody's hand so that we can see victory. Amen. They jumped in. They weren't jealous of Moses. Uh-oh, right here. Y'all might have already heard this, but it's good anyway. I want y'all to picture somebody on a rock, somebody standing here, and this guy's holding up the arm. You know what? Y'all just can't see it. Brother Johnny, can you come here for a second? I want y'all to see this. Y'all going to get a kick out of this. Come on up here, brother. Y'all going to get a kick out of this. He's scared to death. Don't fall. I done trip somebody over there. All right, you're Moses.
Hey, all right.
And I'm going to be Aaron because I don't want anybody to call me Hur. Amen. Raise your hands, brother. Raise your hand. All the way up.
All the way up.
I want y'all to look at this. Brother, did you put on deodorant tonight?
I'm just kidding.
This is what I wanted to show y'all. Look here. Look here. Where was Aaron in her position?
Close.
In Moses' armpit. Are y'all with me? Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Don't trip. Don't trip, all right? I wanted y'all to see that. True friends can smell the stink on you. Listen, see the ugly side of you. And still want to serve with you. You know how many friends I've had that see me behind closed doors in a weak moment only to judge me and don't want nothing else to do with my life? Huh? You know how many preachers that I've seen their staff walk out on them because they smelled their armpit? Guess what? People, y'all, this is deep. People are people.
Amen.
Human beings are human beings. We all stink. Are y'all with me? Amen. Find you some friends that'll stand in your armpit and serve with you.
That's right. Come on.
Are y'all with me? Does that help anybody else besides me? Amen. We're going to get our hands back up. We need to find the right friends, the right people that are surrounding us. Amen. Lastly, you got to find friends who steady you. Who steady you. End of verse number 12. The Bible says, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. How many of y'all know people, when they come into your life, they make it more hectic? Y'all know anybody like that? When your family comes in town, right? Say amen. When your family comes in town and you got that one aunt, everybody's got that one aunt, amen. And she just shows up and just something about your blood pressure goes through the roof, amen. There's some people in your life, listen, we got to have the right friends. There's some people that show up and make it worse. Let me ask you this question. Do you have people in your life that are making it worse? You're trying to serve God and they're giving you every excuse why you shouldn't. Are y'all with me? Trying to raise your children right and they're arguing with you why you should let your children have a phone and access to it and everything else.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's the devil. That's Amalek. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
That's Amalek. Your hands is tired. We've got to learn to surround ourselves with the right people. Are y'all with me? Amen. Find you some people that'll steady you. Do you have the right people in your life? I wonder if there's somebody in here tonight you need to find some different people. Because the people that you surround yourself with, they're fighting a different battle than you. Because the people that you're surrounding yourself with can't stand the smell of your armpit. The people you're surrounding yourself with, if you didn't ask them to help, they wouldn't even look your direction. People you surround yourself with, every time God uses you, they get frustrated.
Amen.
We've got to make sure we're surrounded with the right people. We're trying to get our hands up, church. Number three, not only must we make sure of our foundation, we must surround ourselves with people that'll help you hold your hands up. Number three, we've got to look back on the victories that God has given you. How do we get our hands back up? When our hands are heavy. Start looking back on your life at the things that God's done for you. And I know this kind of overlaps with what I talked about on Sunday, but too many of us look back and all we can see is the bad things in our life. Man, God has blessed us beyond measure. If you're sitting in this church tonight with clothes on next to your family member, you ought to be running around this church saying amen. Let me just say this. If God saved you tonight, you don't deserve nothing else. We've got to learn to look back and just be thankful that we're not in Egypt anymore. Amen.
Amen.
That we've been delivered. But even after he delivered us from Egypt, he's given us sweet water. Amen. He's given us palm trees and wells. Amen. He's given us manna, Krispy Kreme. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's given us so much more. Life more abundantly. When was the last time you stopped and really worshiped God for what he's done in your life? You know how you get your hands up? Praise him on credit, amen.
That's right. Come on.
Praise him with faith. I don't know how he's going to do this, but
amen.
You start praising the Lord and ain't got nothing to praise him, the Lord for, watch how the Lord just fills your cup.
That's right. Come on.
Watch him. Try him. Trust me. Try him. You'll be drinking from your saucer, I promise you.
That's right.
Amen. Lastly, I love this. We got to get the right foundation. We got to get the right people. We got to look back on the victories God's given us. Number four. Sorry, I can't count. We've got to realign ourselves with the standard. What do you mean by that, Brother Dalton? Verse number 15. Look what happened. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. By the way, he did. We're reading it. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. He said, that boy down there fighting, make sure he don't forget about this. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
Amen.
And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi. Anybody know what that means? The Lord is my banner. In other words, the Lord is my standard. You know, Brother Edwin, the times where my hands get the heaviest is when I'm not aligned with the standard.
Amen.
I work with young people all the time, and one of the biggest battles young people fight is doubt. And the first question I ask them when they come to ask me about, Lord, Brother Dalton, I don't know if I'm sure about my salvation. The first thing I ask them is, are you living right? Maybe it's just me. But most times when I'm doubting, I'm not right.
Amen.
Are y'all with me?
That's right.
Let me help some of y'all that's been doubting. And by the way, I heard a preacher say this one time. One way you can know you're saved is if you doubt. You're going to doubt. You're going to doubt sometime. If you don't agree with me, throw the book at me. There's times you look at your life and you say, how can somebody that's saved live like this?
Come on, man.
Maybe, I'm just being transparent. Maybe y'all are better than me. Look at my life and say, man, am I really saved and act like this? Does saved people act like this? The devil starts. Are y'all with me?
Yep.
Am I preaching to myself? If I am, that's fine. When we get messed up and sideways with the standard, that's a great opportunity for your hands to get heavy.
Amen.
I'm trying to help somebody. You've been dragging your hands in this church for 3 months. Let me just tell you, I'm trying to help you. You got to get back in line with the standard. I know this was sweet up until this moment. Let me just drop a little conviction. Hope the Lord's moving. I know in my life, my hands get heavy when I'm not lined up with Him.
That's right.
You want to know why? Because when I'm not lined up with the standard, I am operating in my own power. And when I'm operating in my own power, I am weak. I am weak. How many of y'all have seen the movie, The Patriot? Anybody? If you haven't, I'm going to give an altar call in just a minute. You can get saved. Amen. Mel Gibson, he was anointed in this movie. Amen. I love the movie. My wife don't let me watch it as much as I want. But I just love the movie. I love Mel Gibson. I love the Patriot. How many of y'all remember the end of that movie and they fooled the Redcoats? Y'all remember where I'm going right here? And they're fighting. And they act like they were going to retreat and they ran over the hill. As soon as they come over the hill, the rest of the army was standing there. They started lighting into them, right? And come off the couch and they're like, yeah! Well, then they found out they were still pretty bad to the bone, them Redcoats. And they go to fighting. That was back when they didn't just drop bombs. I'm talking about they were hand in hand. Boy, them rednecks, they was trying all they could, but finally they said, and they started what? Retreat. How many of y'all remember Mel Gibson running, grabbing that flag that he sewed up that his son left, right? And he grabbed that flag and he starts running. Everybody's running this way and he starts running this way. Right? And what's he start screaming? Hold the line. Hold the line. And he's running up through that battle. Anybody remember that? I mean, is anybody getting chill bumps thinking about it? Amen. Glory to God. The standard. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Them men, their hands got heavy. They began to be defeated. Are y'all seeing this beautiful picture? They turn and run. Mel Gibson, the man of God, amen. Grabs the standard. And he says, hold the line. I'm standing up here tonight. I'm trying to tell y'all, hold the line. Get back in line. We still got something to fight for, amen? Amen. Get your hands back up. Some of y'all been dragging in here. Get back in line with the standard. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Beautiful this past week up in Pigeon Forge. I watched kids that a year ago at camp, I saw them, Brother Johnny, like this. But the last 6 months, I've saw them come to youth group like this. And I watched throughout the week, last week, as they realigned themselves with the standard. And they went from, I don't want to be here, to on Thursday night, they were begging me to stay. Why? Because they were back in line. Who in here is out of line? How about all of us? How about every one of us? Get out of line. You start doubting. Your hands start getting heavy. I want a church that can hold their hands up. And when we get tired, we'll have somebody next to us that'll stand and help us hold our hands up. And when we get out of line, somebody will stand up here and say, hold the line. Remind us where the standard is. By the way, the standard is the same as the foundation. It's Jesus Christ. Moses said, Jehovah Nisi, my banner, my standard, the one in which I align with. Are y'all with me? Amen. Let me ask you this question, church. I'm done. Are your hands heavy? Say somebody in here, you walked in here tonight and you're just going through the motions because you're supposed to be here. Is there somebody who walked in here tonight just because your children need to see you be faithful, but you don't really want to be here? You might not know this, and I hate to break it to you, but I can tell your hands are getting heavy. And I want to be one of those friends that hold your hand up. I wonder if there's somebody in here, every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe there's somebody who's got some heavy hands. Why don't you grab one of your friends, your true friends, and say, look, my hands are heavy, but if you'll help me, we'll get the victory. If you got heavy hands in here, church, maybe there's somebody in here, you got heavy hands, but it's not because of the people that you're surrounded by, but it's because you fell out of line. The beautiful thing about Christ is it doesn't take near as long to get close to Him as it does to get far away. In other words, you can get back in line with the standard tonight. But it's up to you. He won't force you to do it. If your hands are heavy tonight, church, find your way around this altar. Let's get our hands back up. Lord, we love You so much. Lord, I thank You for the friends, people You've surrounded my family with. Lord, friends who've saw the ugly side, friends that don't get jealous, friends that just jump in and help. I thank You for that. Lord, I pray that You'd help me to be that friend for somebody. Lord, help me to be able to hold somebody's hands up. It ain't about me. It's about You. I pray that You'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, in my life when I fell out of line, Lord, send somebody to remind me to hold the line. Lord, I need to stay in line. Lord, because when I don't, my hands get heavy. Lord, I pray that You'd touch our church. Lord, I know there's people in this room that are just like me. Lord, their hands are heavy. Lord, I pray that You'd help them. Don't let them lose the battle. Lord, send them a couple of people that'll hold their hands up, encourage them, love on them, help them realign with You. Lord, I just love You so much. I thank You for this book. Thank You for Your word that You've given us. Lord, what a beautiful, beautiful book. I pray that You'd help me to align myself with it in every area and aspect of my life. Lord, I pray that You'd touch our church. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed, real quickly. I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight. Anybody in here? That if you were to die tonight, God forbid anything happened to you tonight, if there's anybody in here who's not sure of their salvation, is not sure where they would spend their eternity, I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight say, Brother Dalton, I'm not sure where I'd spend my eternity, but I want to know. Is there anybody like that? Just make eye contact with me. Brother Dalton, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell, but I want to know for sure. Is there anybody like that? Anybody? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for such a sweet spirit tonight. Lord, I thank you for the music tonight. I'm thankful for the talent that you've given us at Calvary Baptist Church. Help us to be good stewards of it. Lord, help us to come in here aligned with the standard every single time. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the music tonight, God. What a blessing it was to me. I thank you for your word. Lord, what a challenge it was to me. Lord, I want to keep my hands up. There's people that are counting on me to keep my hands up. There's people fighting all around me that need me and need this church to keep our hands up. I pray that you'd help us all to do that. Do our part the best we know how. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word, fellowship for a little while tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.